Our guest today, Gary Brewer of Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers. They have a fine new album, 40th Anniversary Celebration. We're going to get into all the nice details as we talk with Gary. Welcome, Gary Brewer, your first time to Unreal Bluegrass, and thank you all for tuning in. Gary Brewer is right here with me. Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers celebrating his 40th anniversary. And, Gary, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. It's good to be on with you.
40 years, that's a nice chunk. That's hard to repeat for anybody else, and you've been doing it all this time.
Yeah, you know, it kind of sneaks up on you, Steve. You know, you turn around about twice, and, you know, you look at the numbers, and wow, you know, but it's been a great ride, and my son's on board now, and both of them, and it's just I tell people all the time, I kind of feel like Bill McCurry. You know, you get that second win, you know, when your sons grow up and they push you, you know, and you still get out there and get it done. You know, we're really enjoying it. Very blessed. Very blessed.
You are, and I had to look at your picture again. You're not as gray as Dell yet.
No, I've not got there yet, but you know, time is creeping up on all of us, you know, and stuff. But I've always said I don't care what color it is, as long as I got plenty
still
of it. So you can look at my boys there; we're all thick-headed. So in more ways
than
one.
That's what I was going to say. There's a lot. I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to let you deal with the thick-headed part. The boy, this album is doing so well, and to the people listening. Gary Brewer has been in the Kentucky Ramblers, been a fixture forever. We talked about the 40 years aspect. And so on this album, which is 40th Anniversary Celebration, you have a lot of guests, but all the songs are songs that you've written and recorded, and you've re-recorded them with other special guests on this album. And let me just say this, as a kid from Kentucky my whole life, and I've been down to where your music venue is, I'm so glad, number one, that you're the Kentucky Ramblers. I like that. I'm so glad that so many of your songs touch upon, if they don't have the word Kentucky in the title, there are lyrics that will lead you back to something in Kentucky. I'm very proud of the fact that you're proud of where we live. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that as well, Steve. It is, you know, I've been writing songs all my career, and I've always tried to pay homage, you know, to the bluegrass state, you know, but most of all of my songs, you know, are real life situations, and you know where you live. Most of those depict where you live, of course, and or stories and things, you know, that's come down the lineage of the Brewer family. Now 6 generations. My granddaddy worked with the original Carter family in the '20s, and right on down to my dad, and then of course me, and now my sons. And so, yeah, we love our home state and carry it very proudly all over the world, you know.
I appreciate that. The very first song listed on the album, although we played Big Train, which is a great tune that you've enlisted Doug Phelps from the Kentucky Headhunters. I want to talk about that just a little bit, but I want to get back to the very first song. Big Train is sort of an upbeat tempo. And I know Doug Phelps because you told me in the liner notes he was from Kentucky Headhunters, but I wouldn't say that I knew his name. So tell me a little bit about how you hook up with Doug.
Well, Doug, of course, he's the lead singer with the Kentucky Headhunters, a great, great group, and had a lot of success through the years. And, you know, they're old country boys from Kentucky. You know, they put bluegrass songs and you know, cater them to their sound, and they do great country music. They do southern rock. You know, they're just a super band and super bunch of guys. They're all from the Kentucky, and they still live in the Kentucky area down around Glasgow, Kentucky. And Doug, he's been there and done that. You know, he worked with Johnny Rodriguez and, you know, a lot of different people down through the years. And then with his brother, which was in the Kentucky Headhunters as well, they had a band that you may remember that had some chart action called Brother Phelps.
Okay.
And then, you know, Kentucky Headhunters went back real heavy, got real heavy on the circuit, and he went back and to the Headhunters, and has been there ever since. And just a great bunch of guys. And you may be familiar with the first monster hit they had, which was a Bill Monroe song, you know. And so it walks softly on this heart of mine, you know. Yeah, sure, and that's what put them on the map. So, but we had been getting things together for the 40-year record, and just, you know, talking with our friends and talking with the colleagues. And when I went through Steve and tried to visualize who I wanted on the record, I didn't just say, hey, I want some of my best friends, you know, just to be on the record. I wanted it to have a more in-depth reason. Well, the song Big Train and Doug with the Headhunters, you know, it just come together as a thought first. I said, man, you know, who would be great on that? And it just blossomed from there. And so got in touch with him. And, of course, he come up to the studio and just had a great time. Now, the video, that's the newest single. The video is out on that, and it's actually live studio footage of us cutting the song, and the folks can find that, you know, out on social media.
I've seen that, and I've pushed it out so people can find it.
Yeah, great, yeah. Great. And so, and then, you know, that's how we got Doug on board, and even the Headhunters make a little cameo appearance in there, you know. So what a great bunch of guys, and I've had so many comments, you know. It says, hey, you know, I've known the Headhunters, but I didn't really know, you know, that they could sing straight ahead bluegrass. And I said, they can do anything they want to, you know. And then, you know, and Doug's a great singer, and all those guys are great. So it was an honor to have them on, as well as all the other guests. You know?
You have a lot of guests, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Gary Brewer. Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers 40th anniversary celebration. We'll tell you a little bit later about how to find it. But you mentioned as long as you've been in the business, you're feeling a little bit like Del McCoury, and try to look back at the album, as I say. Your hair's not as white yet, but you could still maybe, you know, whereas Del has the Del do, you could maybe do the Brew do if you wanted to have your kids.
There you go. Good coin, man. Good coin. I've always had a thing with my peers and friends and stuff in the business. You know, they always, you know, other entertainers, you know, I'd say, man, we've got together a little collection. Can we? We've got about $65 or $70 here. Can we just touch your hair? No way, man. I mean, it's always been kind of a joke, you know, through the years and stuff. So I've never thought of the Brew do, Steve, but I like it.
You can have it. That's my gift to you for being a guest on Unreal Blue.
As a kind of a footnote, way back when IBMA first started, they had you know, entertainers serve breakfast and stuff as a way to raise money for the IBMA fund.
I remember that.
And stuff. So we done a breakfast thing, and me and the McCoury boys and several other artists, and it just wasn't making a big bunch of money. And somebody said, I'll pay $100 to touch Brewer's hair, you know. And I was like, man, it's going to take a lot more money than that, you know. Well, we wound up doing an auction there and wound up getting about $5,000, Steve,
to touch your hair.
Somebody touched my hair. And back in the day, they had a magazine also called Bluegrass Today.
Yeah, sure.
And not Bluegrass Today, but Bluegrass Now.
Yes, yes.
And they put an article in there about Gary Brewer never would wear a hat except when I was an official bluegrass boy to take Bill's place when he was in the hospital at Fanfare in Nashville. And they said I was Bill Monroe was the only guy that Brewer would scrunch his do to play with, you know.
There has to be exceptions, Dan. I think Bill Monroe is a pretty good exception to your general rule. And
I always tell people, Steve, I said, my wife's touched my hair 2 times, and I've got 2 kids to prove it.
That's great. You know, you're always dressed, even on the album cover, when I've seen you before, and you're always really dressed to put on a show, which I think is important for the audience, and that the artist on stage recognize that the audience is there to watch a show. And you always dress well. You always dress well. So from an audience point of view, that's appreciated. I think you should put in a best appearance.
Well, I appreciate that. That's always been, I'm an entertainer and I'm in show business. And my peers, people like Bill and the Monroe, were all great friends of mine and recorded with me and everything. And, I always took that because... and watching my peers, because you're there to entertain. People are going to pay a ticket, buy your record, and you don't want to look, to quote Little Roy Lewis, you don't want to look like you just crawled out from under a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and I don't fault people that do what they do, but, I've always felt if you're going to be an entertainer and put on a show, you need to do the best that you possibly can for the audience, and that includes, the way you look, the way you act, the way you behave, and, of course, your show and the way that you present yourself as a professional entertainer, And at some point, artists have to set themselves aside to do their own thing,
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, well, I appreciate it. The effort is appreciated by the audiences, The album, this new one, it's bounced. It's been at the top of the charts twice, and that's during a time when people, as you mentioned already, during the virus and the COVID, people aren't getting out because they can't. But yet, this album seems to have taken on a life of its own and hit the charts twice.
Yeah, we're so proud of that, Steve. It, you think after 40 years sometimes that you know the business and what it's going to do and how it's going to do it, and you think you learn some things along the line, but this is odd times, and with the pandemic globally, normally to get a number one record on Billboard, as you've mentioned, it's hit it twice, and we've been in the top 5 for 19 weeks.
Wow.
On Billboard.
Wow.
And when you think about that, normally you get something on the charts, then you're out supporting it live and, trying to create more buzz and things of that nature. And but when you can't get out, Billboard, of course, is based on sales.
That's right.
So the artist really has nothing to do with it. It's the fans. And I stand here today, astonished that it's hit twice because we haven't been able to get out and do tour support of it, even though we had 39 states on the books for 2020 and a 3-week tour in Europe. Everything was postponed to 2021. So, we got a bus and a room full of show clothes and can't get out, but
well,
the folks have come to bat for us and got on, purchased it either streaming or downloads or physical. We sold a lot of physical, and we stand here thanking the public for that because they're the ones that, again, it's a full circle. We work hard for them, and they come through for us, and we're so pleased and elated, about the chart action that it has done.
Well, don't. I'm going to say 2 things. Don't grow out of your show clothes. You can still wear those when things open up.
So
watch your belt lines as we're coming into the holiday season. And secondly, you mentioned Gary Brewer. I'm talking to you. Mentioned Billboard is the only one that I know of all the polls that are out there that I participate in. It's the only one that's really based on sales. In other words, it's not to the people listening. You may or may not know that, but there are lots of polls, and they're fine polls that express fan favorites and or spins on radio or DJ input, but Billboard is the only one that's based on sales that I know of.
Yeah, there used to be another one back in the day called Cashbox, and It was primarily for country music, but Billboard is the global standard, you know, for sales. And, you know, all charts are great. They're all sometimes they're geared for certain genres only and different things. But Billboard is one that, in other words, you can't tap it through, like you mentioned, either friends or colleagues or anything. It's something that is done purely on sales that are backed, you know, by the industry. And bringing that up, too, we're so proud that we've got six nominations for the Grammys for this record. And we're it's been submitted in for that, everything from Song of the Year to Album of the Year and so forth. And, you know, we're really, again, elated at that because well, there's a lot of stuff up for the Grammys this year, and I think a lot of that is because the global pandemic, a lot of mainstream artists have moved over into bluegrass to try to salvage 2020, you know, and get in anything that they can get into so 2020 is not a total bust, you know.
You might be right. I've noticed that. Without naming names, I've noticed that myself, Gary.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. You know, everybody's trying to get something so that, you know, this is our livelihood. So we appreciate the fans sticking with us, and everybody hang tight. Things are start opening up as they have, and shows are starting to go off. And won't be long, Steve. We can all be back out like we was and seeing our friends and laying the music down for them.
I hope so, man. I really hope so. Listen, we're going to hit on some of these songs. We're going to play another one in just a minute, but we've referenced back to Del McCoy. The very first song, which is an up-tempo, going up Shell Creek, one that you wrote about your father's birthplace, you have the Traveling McCurrys on that, and Jason Carter gives you a boost on the singing also, but that's maybe why Del keeps coming up in our conversations, although partly it's the photograph. That's a great up-tempo tune, and it's just another great tune that you wrote. You write a lot of songs about your childhood influences, about your father. You co-wrote one of these with your father on the album. So it's nice that you keep everything right close to home, and that's just a great upbeat bluegrass tune.
Well, I appreciate that. That was the first single, Steve, and that's the first one that got chart action and was with the Traveling McCurrys. And again, me and those guys have so much, and that's why different artists that I have on there, I pick certain songs for them. I thought that tune, you know, the traditional sense of it, and, you know, they've traveled with their father. I had been able to travel with my father. Now their sons, Ronnie's son is touring with them. And my sons, of course, have been in the band since they were big enough to walk and stuff. So, you know, that tradition just with us two families in this industry was worthy of getting on a record together. And it's the idea has proved out, you know, being a chart song for us. And what a great bunch of guys the McCurrys are, and known them for years and years and years, you know. And we share so much in common. So they were the perfect fit for
it
this
really
song,
is.
You know.
For all those reasons.
And I tried to do that with each of them.
For all those reasons, it's a perfect song. Hey, listen, you have someone on here. I knew a little bit about Doug Phelps from Kentucky Hut Hunters. I don't know Ashton Shepherd. And she joins you on a couple of songs. Let's talk about her. Then I want you to introduce Johnson City Blues for the audience.
Okay. Well, Ashton, I met her at the Grand Ole Opry. We'd done the Ralph Stanley tribute thing there a year before last, and met her, and I tell you, she is without a doubt my favorite female country singer. This lady, she had several songs on the charts, you know, top tunes in country music in the early 2000s, and she's from the state of Alabama. And she's the real deal, buddy. I mean, she was out there touring with Miranda Lambert and, Josh Turner. And, she's in the circle and right in the middle of her career, she had a baby. And her being a Southern Alabama gal, she said, I need to come off the road and get my kid up and growing. And instead of out, being gone and somebody else, and she took a step back and she had two kids and got them, the one's up about 16 or 17 and the other one's around 9 or so. So she's always been in the industry, but she stepped back from her career to take care of her parents and be a mom. And she's back out, got a new record out, and just, I'm telling you, this girl is a singer, and she does her own thing. The folks can look her up. One of her big songs was "Look It Up," and she's got several. Just look up Ashton Shepherd; you'll be glad that she did. And I had her on these two songs. She just fit. The one I wrote is kind of a country flavored song, and had her on that. And then the one is a song called "Love in the Mountains," a little about medium beat song, and she took a lead out on it too. And the other one is "I Don't Know What's Become of Me." And please look Ashton Shepherd up. She's out there doing it and does a great job. And she's Rolling Stone has labeled her as the new Loretta Lynn,
Boy, that's a lot.
So she has been there and done that. She's worked the Opry many times, been on, Good Morning America. I mean, the Today Show. She's done it all, And look her up for sure. And I think that the folks will really enjoy her, and I know they'll enjoy her on this CD.
They will. And Gary, I'll play a couple of those tunes in leading up to this portion where we're discussing things. I'm glad you enlightened me on Ashton Shepherd, but I want you now to introduce Johnson City Blues, which I think is also a kind of a signature tune for Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers.
Yes, sir. Glad to, Steve. This next song is a song that I wrote many years ago, real early in my career, about the mid-80s or so, and recorded it originally in 1989 for the folks at Copper Creek Rebel Records. And it depicts the times that I spent down in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, where my daddy was from. And it's called the Johnson City Blues.
We'll do that. I'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll hear this one. Come right back to Gary, my guest for today. The audience just heard the Johnson City Blues. That's a great tune. And I understand that it's one that audiences often ask you for, and you're always ready to play. Apparently it does well with the listeners.
Yes, it's definitely become a signature song, and I'll give a shout out to Kenny and Amanda Smith. Just cut Johnson City Blues herself, and they've cut a couple of my songs and had good chart action on it. They've had this on Bluegrass Today charts already, and then they cut the Blues Down in Kentucky, another song that's on the record with the great Sam Bush.
Another Kentucky kid.
Yeah. Sam was one of those bucket list things for me to get on the record, and just done a fabulous job. And he's a Kentucky native, and of course the maestro of the progressive bluegrass scene. But everybody knows that knows Sam, buddy, he is the man. And he lays down the hardcore bluegrass on my record. So
I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you want to go right down the middle, he's there burning. I mean, and Sam has his own choices as the musical taste that he puts out under his name, but he and on this one he just flat out tears it up. So it's a good move to have Sam on there, and I am proud of him because he's out there from even though he's so close.
Me too, man.
Even though he's so close to Missouri, he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan. And there's nothing I can do about that. That's that far western corner of Kentucky.
And, I hear you, Steve.
He loved the Cards when they were beating up on the Reds, and that's my local team, so it's not that hard to beat up on them in these days. That's all right. I'll give him a pass on that. There's a tune on here that we talked about Gary Brewer, if you're just tuning in. We talked about some of the inspiration, where you grew up, your father's involved in a lot of or memories of your father's involved in a lot of these. But in this, sort of as tangentially on the 14th cut on the album, it's about learning chores. You're being asked to learn chores, which is a good responsibility, but the song Sally O is actually about a milk cow.
It is, and, you know, I tease people a lot when we perform it regularly live that it's a love song about my first love is Sally O, the milk cow, you know, and Ed sung the bass on that. The list may not know, but my dad passed away here in September, and 82 years old, and, of course, my major influence in life, you know, besides God, but he... best dad in the world. He's my biggest fan, and of course, acing the hoe out on the shows. Always been my road manager, bus driver, and just whatever we needed, and of course, part of our act, and great old time country and bluegrass singer. And he, I had him in to sing the bass on that song, and that's the first song, Steve, Sally O, that song there. Was being in regular rotation on WSM in Nashville, and that's the song that took me as a guest artist to the Grand Ole Opry for the first time, was that novelty, Sally O.
Wow. It's a good one. It's the last cut on the album. We've talked about a lot of the guests. We haven't talked about, let's do it real quick. Russell Moore gives you his fantastic voice on The Rain Is Coming Down. And Dale Ann Bradley, who you describe her so well in the liner notes for Daddy and the Old Oak Tree. That's just two more people that lend their talents to this 40th anniversary celebration CD that we're talking about. But you can't go wrong with either one of those.
Yes, sir. You're right. And, again, all the artists were chosen for particular songs because somehow they tied to that. For example, Dale Ann's close to her dad as I have been mine, and you know, the values there alone, she's a Kentucky gal, and you know, so that song is called Daddy and the Old Oak Tree, and it basically depicts the life, you know, of what dad means, and if it wasn't for my daddy and that old oak tree, you know, and how I grew to be a man, and how my mind wandered back shack and all that, you know, and the times we spent together, me and him, I wish that I could go back, you know. Mm-hmm. And it touches people's hearts, and you know, you mentioned entertainment earlier. That's what you know, I've always tried to do, of course, on recordings and most certainly live, is I want to touch everybody, Steve, in that audience. I want to make them cry. I want to make them laugh. I want to make them dance. I want to make them reflect. I want them to have hope for the future. You know, you want to, in song, music is a powerful, powerful medicine. It is something that, I don't mean it sacrilegiously, but it's something that has a spirit to it that moves you one way or the other. If it's a song about mama or daddy and you feel that, or if it's a person down on their luck, or, you know, a new birth, or, you know, whatever that it is, you know, you can go to a ball game and there can be music that uplifts you and gets you stomping your feet for the game, or, you know, it can make you reflect on your childhood. And so we've always tried to make songs, you know, that reflect and touch people. And I'm an artist that's never been much for, when I record, for using a lot of antics, recording-wise, to fluff singing and playing, because I like it real. I like the acoustic sound that comes out. We don't do doctored voices and things like that internally. I want to be able to recreate that. If somebody likes it, hears it on your show, I want them to come to my show, invent my show. I want them to come and hear the same quality that they hear live and not a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And so I've always tried to do that. And when you do that, I cut my records live in the studio. I play the guitar and sing it at the same time. I track them out and things like that. I get the feeling better that way. And I've done it for 4 years. It's served me well. I don't have any plans on changing that anytime soon, but it makes it, and that's why I chose the artist.
It makes it real. It makes it more intimate. I mean, you're there with the people, and you're seeing them, and you're reacting like a live show, and so you're absolutely right. I think that's hard to do now because people can't get together as much. But I think that
right.
I think that's the way to do it. If you can pull it off, what you're doing is basically a recording of a live performance. So it's, although there's no audience and no stage, you're basically doing live. Hey, by the way, you were doing such a great job of describing Sally O. I didn't want to let pass by. Very sorry that your father passed away. I didn't want to leave that there. I didn't mention it because you were in the story of telling about the milk cow and the chores. But sorry
right.
about that myself.
I appreciate that, my friend. And he's well.
All right. Hey, listen, tell me a little bit about Russell Moore, the choice of The Rain Is Coming Down, and we know that Ralph Stanley 2 is on here, but I want to sum up a little bit and then get back to letting the audience hear one more song from the album, Girl from the Mountain. But let's talk a little bit about Russell Moore and the song
sure.
that you chose him for, The Rain Is Coming Down. You just can't get a stronger vocal to add.
Well, as I mentioned in the liners there, Steve, Russell's one of the greatest voices in our industry, you know, right now. And you know, we've been out there, you know, running the roads together and worked with Russell and the guys many times. You know, I remember when he came on board with Dole and everything and stuff. And he's done super well and very recognizable voice, and I thought he fit that connection with that. Russell, when he sort of got discovered, if you will, by Dole Lawson, he had a group called Southern Connection, and they had a song that was doing well called Raining in L.A., and they still perform that today. And this song being The Rain Is Coming Down, then like I said, I strategically went in with each artist. I said, you know, man, that's got a connection with Russell. And then there's the connection word with Southern Connection. And I said, you know, I'm going to give Russell a call and I can hear his voice on this. And of course, it's a great tune and what a fantastic job he done on it. And it was an honor to have him. We were long, long, long time friends and, colleagues in the industry, and you know, it's great to have him on there. So the folks will definitely enjoy The Rain Is Coming Down with Russell Moore.
It is. It's great, and anything you can add Russell to is great. I like the story of how you're describing his arrival on the scene. But this has to say to you also, Gary Brewer, that 40 years, you can call on the people that you want to have on a special album, like Dale Ann and the Traveling McCoury's, because of that connection, and Russell Moore. That's got to feel good that you can get these people
well,
in.
Well, it does, Steve. It's not something that I think lightly of. You know, I know, there's perks to being out there on the road for 40 years and pretty much knowing about everybody out there and vice versa. But, you know, it's an honor to have each and every one of them on it because it's a very touching thing for me because, you know, when you've got major artists that don't normally do a lot of guest shots and nobody on this record, you don't see a lot of these people on everybody's records. They just don't do them. And it was really an honor and privilege, you know, that they felt that I was relevant enough to be on with me. You know, it just, It speaks very humbling.
It speaks volumes, Gary, for your credibility and the time and the quality of the music that you've done in these 40 years. It speaks volumes about that. So that you should be very, very proud of that. It makes the album great, by the way. You have all these special people singing your songs. But I just want to say congratulations for that. Listen, on a tune on the album, we all call him Ralph II, is Ralph Stanley II. Home Ain't the Way It Used to Be. You've kind of referenced that a little bit, and as far as remembering things, I want to just hit that a little bit. Then I want you to introduce another, I think, a signature song, "Love in the Mountains," from you, and then
and "Girl from the Mountain."
Yeah, "Girl from the Mountain." I'm sorry, I can remind. Yeah, "Girl from the Mountain" is the one I wanted. So talk a little bit about Ralph II and his choice. Then I want you to introduce "Girl from the Mountain," and then I'll let you go back to your work.
Great. Well, Ralph II, of course, I've known him since he was born, and was great friends with Ralph Sr. Ralph Sr., just notably, when I started performing professionally at 14 years old, started my band, I opened for Ralph at in Shepherdsville, where you've been to see us before.
Right.
And, you know, he just hooked up with me, and he said, my nickname's Stretch. My dad named me when I was a kid, and he said, "Stretch," he said, "I want you to come play my Bluegrass Festival in McClure, Virginia." And I went and played that at 14 years old, and he hired me all the way through. I mean, playing there, and he'd always, each year, he'd say, "Stretch, what year or what days you gonna play for me this year?" And I said, "Well, Ralph, what do you want?" He said, "Well, you can play one of them, all of them." You know, he just took me under his wing, and of course, later in my career, when I started, you know, producing shows and stuff, of course, I returned the favor and started hiring him. You know, and we had a great relationship through the years, and sung together a lot, played a lot together, so. Two, as everybody knows him, Ralph Stanley II, I'm so very proud of him that he's carrying on the tradition of the Clinch Mountain Boys and the Stanley Brothers and Ralph Stanley, you know, and Ralph had dabbled in country some too, and, you know, with Ralph Sr. when he got on as a member of the Opry and stuff, and I just so proud of him continuing this legacy. And again, there's that family connection. You know, this music, Steve, it's handed down authentically with my family, six generations. Jeez. No one right now is out there to rival that. You've got, to quote Lance Leroy, the late and great Lance Leroy, former booking agent of Flatt & Scruggs and that, he said, you know, nobody can rival the Gary Brewer's family. You can take Bill Monroe and Ralph Stanley and add them together, and you still can't come up with the sixth generation.
That's true.
That's kind of cool, isn't it? You know, and I wish I knew that when I was a kid. Start Baps, you know, that would have been a great way to get some advertising, but you know, it's just time, and I'm so privileged. But Ralph II, with obviously the connection of the old home place there in McClure, Virginia, where Ralph's festival's been all these years, this would have been his 50th year for McClure, and Ralph II is going to do a live album there, and I'm going to be on that. And of course, they had to postpone it for COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know, the old home place there on Smith Ridge, where Ralph was born, and the Stanley Brothers were born and raised, and the tie with home ain't the way it used to be for me or Ralph anymore. You know, our parents, both my parents are gone. Now Ralph's mother's still living, Jimmy. But, you know, his dad's gone, and home just ain't the same, you know. So what a great tie to come in on the song and do that. And the song is actually written about my daddy's life growing up in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. And as he grew up, they had a family of 11 kids, and you know, they worked and walked barefoot across the ridge and that to the one-room school. That one-room school is still standing today. Every time I go down there, I go to it. And one part I want to bring out about that song, Steve, is my dad told me a story about him growing up, and they got two pair of bib overhauls a year, the kids did, and one pair of shoes for the winter. And he was fixing to go to school, and his mother, my grandmother, said, "Hurry up, Finney." They called, his name was Finley, and they called him Finney. And said he was sitting on the bed crying, and she said, "What's the matter?" And his foot kept running out the holes in the overhauls. He couldn't get all the way to the bottom to get them on, and he was trying to hurry. And that's a true story, and I put that in the song just to bring it out. It said, I remember getting up in the morning when the rooster start to crow, walk barefoot across the ridge to that one-room school. Remember crying to Mama about my bib overhauls, so many holes in the legs I couldn't get them off.
Oh, man. What a great story.
And that's a true story, and, you know, it's the same fashion that you've heard many times about the late and great Stanley brothers. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to McClure, but it's way back in there, and, you know, how Ralph and Carter ever got out, I'll never know, you know. But, you know, the connection, again, and that's what makes great music, is when you can connect certain artists to a song and bring that song to life that is not make you believe it, but make you know it was a real happening, you know. And Ralph, too, done a great job on the song. And I was just an honor to have him on there, too.
So many great stories in your music, Gary. And I appreciate you sharing them and filling them out a little more than even the lyrics. You make it very clear these are very personal and real things to you, and for which I am appreciative. I know the audience is. Before I get you to introduce Girl from the Mountain, people are buying your album because it's hit the top of the billboards twice. Tell them how they reach it, how they find it.
Sure. Of course, our website is brewgrass, brewgrass.com. Of course, Facebook, Gary Byrne, the Kentucky Ramblers, and, of course, all digital partners, Steve, from Amazon, CD Baby, Rhapsody, I mean, whatever your favorite thing is, but we have an online store on brewgrass.com that they can order directly from us. We can autograph it. There is 40-year merch. There's packages where you can get T-shirts, hats, and the CD, and posters, and all the merch from GBKR store. And we appreciate that, too, because, again, you know, from the safety of your own home, you can get the autographs and get the merch and stuff directly to your home at this point. And we have a real simple store that's not got a lot of hoops to jump through, 100% secure site.
Good.
And, yeah, we appreciate the folks going on there and checking out. We post the things regularly on there, and videos and special things as well. So, I think we've got about 130,000 on our Facebook right now. We've broke that thing twice, and have got it back up to 129,000, I think, right now. So come and like us and visit with us regularly until we can get out in person.
Gary, I've so enjoyed chatting with you, and I will say this: when things open up, I want to come back and sit with you for a while, and we'll talk about whatever comes up. We can rehash this album again or other things, or touch on some other issues, but I want to come down when we can, and I want to sit with you for a while. Could be before a show, could be just in the day that you're around, but I want to come down and follow up on some of these things if that's okay with you.
We'd love to have you, Steve, and I'd like to say this as well to the listeners. We appreciate you, Steve Martin, because and what you do with the show, because I've always tried to, with the radio programmers and that, you know, you guys can play anybody. It's your choice. You can do what you want. And to take the time out of your day to set this up and our team, we appreciate it. And if there's anything that we can do as well to help you and your program, whether it be giveaways or, you know, autograph poster, anything that we can, we're most certainly glad to do that and keep that in mind. But I would like the listeners to know that, you know, we owe everything to the listeners, and we owe everything just like yourself. You have to have an audience to listen to your show. You've got to have material to play on the show, and we all need each other.
That's
in
right.
This life.
That
and
you are correct.
So we appreciate, and we don't take that lightly. We know that people have choices, and that's why we use the choices that we have and a platform that we have when we come to perform for you. If you bought that record, you've heard it on Steve's show, and you ask for it, we're going to do it. We're going to do it for you live because that's what we do. That's what we should do. And, you know, when it's 100 degrees and we've got suits on and we're totally dehydrated when we get done with the show, I'll sit and sign every autograph. That's what I've done for 40 years, and that's what you're supposed to do as an entertainer. And by the same token, when a person comes, a fan comes, or a radio programmer, and they ask for something, we try everything we can do to accommodate them. And that's why I say we all need each other, and we all help each other, and we give things up. That's what this life's about.
Gary Brewer, this has been an absolute blast. We started off talking about, and we did cover pretty much of the 40th anniversary celebration of Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers. We talked about a lot of things. You brought back a lot of nice memories for me, too. Not the same, but it put you back in that mood of remembering and feeling grateful. And you're right, we all need each other. Now, I want you to, one more song, I want you to introduce Girl from the Mountain, then I'll let you go because I know you're busy. But let's talk that into it, lead into that, and then I'll say goodbye to you, and the audience will hear Girl from the Mountain from this new album.
Okay, Steve. Well, Girl from the Mountain, I wrote that. That's one of my earliest songs that I wrote. And so I took and eclipsed that also about real life. So honored to have both my sons, Mason and Wayne Brewer. You know, they're the future of this in the Brewer family, and they've gotten a lot of accolades with this record because you can hear the boys pick and sing, and I'm so blessed. But they're wonderful musicians. They play all instruments. They run the show. Wayne is my head guy. He takes care of all the management. He takes care of things for the bookings, you know, the whole nine yards. His wife, Alyssa, runs the record company. You know, it's a family thing. This is six generations, and couldn't do it with any of them. Mason is our, you mentioned, our show clothes and our rhinestones and everything. He is keeps us up on fashion. He is actually a Cosmo model.
Oh, no kidding.
And he's his work's been in everything from LA on to New York, and got good looking kids. They must take after their mother, Steve. They've learned this business. They've been with me since they were obviously on the road with me from 2 years old on. And Wayne plays the bass on every song of the album, sings harmony. He plays the twin fiddle with Ron Stewart, my old alumni that worked on the record with us. And Mason does the mandolin work on the whole record with the exception of Ronnie McCrory and Sam Bush, and sings harmony. And he also, they play anything and do it well. The Girl from the Mountain is my band. No guest artist. does have Ron Stewart, which worked with me for a number of years and cut a lot of these songs originally with me, and a longtime friend and fellow musician. And he's a rambler. He's always been a rambler. And I'm the guy that kind of took him from his family band and put him out on the road, and, you know, obviously can stand amongst himself as one of the greatest musicians walking in our genre. And
no question about that.
It's a privilege to have him back on it again and back in the studio with us and doing rope dates and what have you. But and then both of my sons and myself. So, folks, rock back and listen to what I often answer the question is, Gary, how would you come up with, or how would you, how do I recognize what, or describe what is bluegrass? What makes it different? You are different. What makes it different? And I said, listen to this song right here, and that describes the bluegrass sound.
Well,
so I hope you'll enjoy Girl from the Mountain.
We will, and thanks so much, Gary, for your time, and we'll catch up later down the road, I promise.
Thank you, Steve, my friend.
Thank you, sir.